what can I say? I'm Nina motherfucking Blanco. Episode 6. We made it to episode 6 of the Nina Blanco podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure you're following me on my socials at the Nina Blanco. You know what it means because it's Friday. It's Breakfast Burrito Friday! Grab your breakfast burrito. Treat yourself. You made it to Friday. Why am I nervous right now? I just did this earlier this week, and I've been doing this for a couple weeks now, and I don't know why, but I've got like butterflies in my stomach. I'm like nervous about this episode. There's nothing for me to be nervous about. I think I just have a lot to talk about in this one, so buckle up. It all started kind of this morning when I woke up. Grab your phone. Scroll through your social medias, and of course it was on Facebook because Facebook, but I open up my phone and the first article I see that's going around on Facebook is an American Airlines flight from Miami to London returns to Miami after a woman refuses to wear a mask. Are we still doing this? I mean, here's the thing with COVID, there was the anti-maskers, now there's the anti-vaxxers, and that's like the focus right now is the vaccine. I mean, we're 2 years into this with the whole mask thing. Are we still doing this? We're still anti-maskers? For what? Why? This American Airlines flight, yeah, was headed to London from Miami. You know, this woman, she must have gone through the airport just fine with a mask on. Check-in just fine, sat at her seat. You go through the flight instructional thing, the safety, whatever. And then, I don't know, she just decided, hey, we're in the air. What are they going to do? I'm going to take my mask off. It's going to be fine. This is a long flight from Miami to London. If I take my mask off while we're in the air, we're over the ocean. What are they gonna do? Bitch, they turned the whole ass flight around and now you're in trouble, probably on a no-fly list, hopefully getting fined, all sorts of fines. If I was one of the passengers on this flight, excited to go to London, and you ruined it for me, now they have to find another flight. Hopefully American Airlines can help them with that. It won't cost them anything more than that. But at the same time, then, okay, who's paying for my hotel room tonight? Because I can't get a flight until tomorrow or the next day because that's how flights work. They don't go every hour on the hour. It is a scheduled thing. So fuck this lady. I can't believe we are actually still doing this with the whole anti-mask thing on flights. Come on, get over yourself. You're literally the little kid in the back of the car with your parents driving and your parents are telling you to behave and you're not going to behave and your parents go to you, I'm going to turn this car around. And they actually did. How old are you? Fuck this lady. Ban her from all flights. I don't even care. Why are you still doing that? So I'm all riled up today. Let's get going. I gotta obviously talk about the When We Were Young festival that was announced just the other day this week. It looks like a really cool festival. It's gonna be in Vegas. It's over 50 bands. All of these 2000s kind of emo bands that we all grew up with in high school. And I'm not gonna lie, I don't know if I can say that I went through an emo phase because I didn't do the full-blown, like, hair thing. I said rawr a lot, and I started shopping at Hot Topic. Like, I wore my favorite t-shirt was a My Chemical Romance t-shirt, and that was my favorite t-shirt from Hot Topic that I wore all the time. I watched Invader Zim, and I don't know, that's, like, the extent to, like, my emo phase, and I really liked the Killers and My Chemical Romance, obviously, and Panic at the Disco, and so all these bands are gonna be at this show. It was announced, and a lot of people are like, wait, is this real? Is this a joke? Because it seems too good to be true. Like, all these bands are all of our favorites. We know them. We love them. We've listened to them. Oh my gosh, this sounds amazing. But then we kind of look at the details of this festival, and then it just kind of doesn't seem as great as we thought it was initially, mostly because it is a 1 day long. So I was scrolling through TikTok, and this has been a hot topic all week long. And on TikTok, people are like breaking down the concert or this festival. And so I found this really, really great video and I'm gonna play it. It was on TikTok from user Itchy Brained. Hey, but I'm going to play this video and we're going to start and stop it. And we're going to like go through her whole breakdown because I thought she did a really great job as to like where possible concerns can be. She just does a really great rundown. Okay. So we're going to get into her rundown. I'm going to stop it here and there. And then, give my two cents about it. So here we go. This is from TikTok user Itchy Brained. Let's see what she has to say about it.
If you've been anywhere on the internet today, you've seen this lineup, and oh boy, it looks great until you look a little deeper. So red flag number one, all of these bands, all 50 plus of them, are scheduled for one day in October. And they're gonna be across three stages, which means, I don't know, each band gets 10 minutes.
Okay, flat out, that is too many bands for one day. Period. Over 50 bands, three stages. So they get to call it a festival because it's three different stages. But I want to see like majority of these. And so for one day, three stages, I don't know. It's just way too many bands for one day. And so I know nothing, but since they are calling it a festival, I'm thinking maybe they'll do a surprise expansion and then do like the entire weekend. Because as of right now, it's supposed to be on a Saturday. Why not do Friday, Saturday, Sunday? If you have over 50 bands, and these are all bands that we want to see. So I don't know, maybe they'll surprise us and maybe they'll do an expansion in order to sell more tickets. And this is just the initial, like, let's see how it goes. And if we sell out, then maybe we'll do the other 2 days. So I'm thinking they're going to do the other 2 days, hopefully.
As far as I can tell, this show seems to be marketed to elder millennials who have been broken down over the years by capitalism and time. We're in our 30s. We're not doing well. So I don't think any of us should expect to see most of these bands, given where we're at and our knees and our back.
Bitch, did you just call me old? Did you just say that I am too old to be able to run around Vegas to three different stages? I mean, do not come at me like that, okay? Do not. I'm not here to play.
Red flag number two is the tickets and their pricing. So if you get in on the pre-sale for general admission for $230 before fees, you get, the basic things that you get at a music festival. And if you want to pay $150 more before fees, you get air-conditioned restrooms and a dedicated entry lane for $150 more.
Okay, yeah, this is kind of some BS a little bit. I mean, it's Vegas, and air-conditioned bathrooms aren't a given. If this is going to be an outdoor festival, I don't know, it's a lot. But, I mean, the date, it is in October, so it's less dreadfully hot. But I mean, think about everyone's comparing this to like, oh, Warped Tour and blah, blah, blah. Like if you did Warped Tour, like you're used to hot boxed porta potties, right? We should be used to that. We've done this before. We did it before. We can do it again. So, I mean, I don't know what to say about it.
And if you want to pay $100 more than general admission plus, which is $250 more than just general admission, you get access to all the things that general plus gets. And a phone charging station. That's how you know that you are a very important person. You can have a fully charged phone at a huge festival.
Okay. It kind of seems like a little bit of a scam here with these like different levels, right? I only say that because it's like, what am I actually getting for a couple $100 more with each level? Right? What am I getting here? I mean, phone chargers, they're first of all, probably not even going to work unless you bring your own cord. Right? They probably don't even have the cords attached to it. I don't know. I don't know. When I've seen phone chargers at concerts and festivals and stuff, they do have the cords attached. They're all like locked in the box. But still, like I'm paying that much more for what? Maybe air-conditioned bathrooms if they're working and then the line's going to be so, so long. And then a phone charger station? For what? Who cares? Like, please, I'm bringing like five portable chargers in my backpack anyway. Come on.
And ooh, baby, if you are a big spender, you get access for $12,500, again, before fees, to a tent that is roped off at one stage and one stage only. And you get two complimentary bottles of a liquor and champagne. So, oh, and you can skip the line access for general admission to the merch store. You can just skip right to the front, you know. You get to immediately spend more money.
I'm sorry. Does this say $12,500 for a VIP cabana. Oh my gosh. For what? For two bottles of alcohol, maybe some okay food made by the hockey arena down the street? I don't think so. And I mean, the one stage that she mentions is probably the main stage. So that's what you're really paying for, is to like see all the main acts up close-ish. I don't know where these cabanas are going to be, but I don't know. No, 12,000. That's without fees. It's going to be like 13,500. I don't think so.
And finally, the thing that gives me the most pause is their COVID policy. Or should I say lack of COVID policy. There is no requirements for testing or a vaccine. And it basically is saying like, hey, we're going to try to be careful. Yeah, COVID is a thing. So you are liable for that exposure. So stay safe.
I mean, what was that noise? What's that noise, girl? But anyway, like, are we surprised? Are we surprised, though? Like, listen, I love Vegas. I've really only been a couple of times, but I love it there. It's a lot of fun. But when the pandemic started, they were a mini Florida. Did you forget about that? Because I didn't forget about that. They were like one of the first places to try to open up again and to try to like get tourists to come there. They opened up all the casino floors, like threw a couple bottles of hand sanitizer around and called it a day. I mean, they were definitely a mini Florida at the beginning of the pandemic. It does not surprise me that they're not requiring vaccines or anything like that. So I don't know. Not a surprise.
I'm not saying there's Firefest vibes here. I'm just saying, guys. Guys,
thank you, Itchy Brained, from TikTok. Again, I got that video from TikTok. So yeah, she said Firefest vibes, right? Firefest, so legendary. I love Firefest. I love everything about it. I love that it was just a complete fail. I mean, it was obviously terrible, but I just love how much of a fail it was. I don't know that this is necessarily going to be a fail, though. So a couple more things that the internet has pointed out that I'm going to bring up to you. So the organizers of this festival is Live Nation. And so this is hard for me because I know people that work for Live Nation and they're really great people. And so it's hard to say anything bad, but I just want to point out a couple of things, okay? So Live Nation, I still love you. Yeah, Live Nation, they don't do refunds or exchanges. And so a lot of people are pointing this out, that like no matter what, if you spend that money on a ticket, you're not going to get any of it back if something happens. They are saying that you can resell through the front gate. So I guess that's an option, but you still have to be in Vegas for that. But if the show is canceled or rescheduled, then yeah, you can get a refund. I mean, that's pretty typical with concerts and with festivals, that unless it is canceled, then no, you can't get a refund. But that's how concerts work. Have you never bought a concert ticket before? So people freaking out about that, it's like, shut up. Shut up. And people are also wanting to say, oh, well, Live Nation's responsible for what happened at Astroworld. Sure, they needed more security when that terrible, terrible thing happened in Houston, Texas. Probably needed more security, and the way that the stage was all set up, that area was set up, it was one stage, and then you were blocked off by essentially three sides. There was one way out, and it was a tragedy. It was really, really awful. But personally, I don't think Live Nation is necessary fully to blame for that. I think there are a lot of different areas where you can blame different people, different organizations and stuff like that. But to put all the blame on Live Nation, I don't think that's fair. And we're talking about Live Nation Las Vegas, okay? In every city, all right, like I'm here in Denver, there is a Live Nation Denver chapter. So Live Nation in Vegas, their chapter, they know their shit. This is Vegas we're talking about here, okay? They're always throwing on festivals, different festivals, different concerts. They know the layout. They have security teams, the same people that they work with and stuff like that. Plus, when there is an unfortunate, terrible, terrible tragedy like Astroworld, I mean, you're gonna tie up whatever loose ends that screwed you over in the first place, okay? You're gonna take care of that. And so I have confidence in Live Nation, knock on wood, that everything will be totally fine, that you can't compare this festival to Astroworld just because it's from the same organizers. Live Nation, they throw on so many concerts, so many festivals across the world. It is Live Nation a lot of the time. They're like the top two concert promoters. Okay, so just so you know that, in case you weren't aware, just because it's Live Nation does not mean it's going to turn out like Astroworld did this year. So my biggest red flag on this specific festival, the one we were Young Fest, is the fact that the Killers are not going to be there. I love the Killers. I love them so much. They were one of my favorites. And their song, When You Were Young, I'm assuming that's what this festival is named after, because that was such a popular song and when we were young, and it's a play on words, I guess, for the older millennials. Remember when you were young, you listened to all this music, blah, blah, blah. But hello, the Killers are not on the poster and the festival is named after them. Also, the Killers are from Vegas. Like, they're from Vegas. That's where they got their start. And you're going to host this festival named after one of their songs and not have them as like one of the main performers? That doesn't make sense to me. That makes zero sense to me. I don't get it. I don't understand. A lot of people are saying like, oh, this is a scam. This concert's gonna be terrible. And I don't know, I straight up disagree. I disagree. Like, yeah, there are some red flags there. I think the admission price for general admission and then the different tiers, I think that's a little bit like, yeah, kind of a cash grab for Live Nation and for the promoter. But I mean, concerts are kind of like a money-making business. And the reason that the tickets start at, what was it, $250, $280 or whatever, is because they can. And people are going to pay for it. And it's a lot of bands that you might be able to see, a lot of big names, or at least names that were big at some point are there. And I think it is going to be actually really cool. I'm most likely not going to go unless some miracle happens. But, you know, I do think that this will be an event that will probably be sold out. Again, fingers crossed that they expand it to the whole weekend and that way more people can go. And quite honestly, then they'll make more money, I believe anyway. But I don't think this is a scam. I think this really does sound like a real good time. I mean, when you break it down and you look at all these negative things, it's like, sure, it can make you maybe wonder, second guess about if you want to spend the money for these tickets. But overall, I think it's worth it if you're like super into these bands. It's going to be a fun time. I mean, we all remember Warped Tour, right? And it's going to just give me Warped Tour vibes, which is really nostalgic. And so I think people, they're going to pay some money to do it. And I don't think it's going to be a fail or a scam or anything like that. I think it's actually going to be pretty fucking awesome. So we spent a lot of time talking about the When We Were Young Fest, but I thought it was important to talk about. So I'm going to get into, since it is Friday, Get Into It, Yeah. And we're going to do Get Into It, Yeah a little bit differently this time, just because I have so much to talk about. So I kind of put it into two different subgroups. We're doing Get Into It, Yeah, but we're doing quick hits first. And I'm just going to go over really quick some of the celebrity stories that have happened this week. And then I'm going to like really, really get into the Britney Spears, Jamie Lynn Spears feud that is going on currently. So let's get into it. All right, Olivia Culpo. Who cares? I don't like her anymore at all. She's an actress, she's a model, she's mostly an Instagram influencer, and I dislike her highly because she was flying to Mexico with her boyfriend, and whatever airline she was on asked her, hey, you need to put a shirt on, because she was basically wearing leggings and a bra, and you can't wear that. I don't care who you think you are. You can't wear that on a plane. It is not appropriate. It is not, that's not a shirt, honey. That's not a shirt, okay? Most of the time, people are lucky that you get on a plane with a crop top, okay? She was straight up wearing a bra, and so she was complaining about it, trying to blast the airline, but really, girl, you look stupid. Shut the fuck up. Farrah Abraham from way old school, like 16 pregnant. I can't believe she's still someone who comes up occasionally, but she was out in LA and she allegedly slapped a security guard who wasn't letting her in whatever bar she was trying to get into. Did you see that video? That video was messy. She was on the ground, hands behind her, and she's like screaming like, "What are you doing? I'm gonna sue you, boo." Messy. Girl, you messy. You always been messy, and you are proving to us that 2022 is no different. Cardi B. Oh, I love her so much. So I just love Cardi B in general, just from the get-go. I've always loved Cardi B, but she's got a really big heart. So we know that she's from the Bronx. And sadly, there was a fire on January 9th of this year, huge apartment fire, and it killed 17 people. 17 people got stuck in this apartment building and they perished from this fire, which is just so awful. And Cardi B, being from the Bronx, she has announced that she is going to cover funeral costs for all 17 victims in this deadly apartment fire in the Bronx. And Cardi B said, "Listen, I'm from the Bronx. This is my home. She knows that place. She loves that place. She still has friends that live there. She still has family that lives there. She still goes to visit from time to time. The Bronx is Cardi B." Absolutely. And so she's taking care of her people. And I mean, let's face it, in the Bronx, a lot of people just don't have a whole lot of money, you know, and especially this apartment building, I think, was just a little bit on the lower income side. And it's just so sad. And so a lot of these people, like, you're dealing with the fact that you just lost everything. I mean, we had that major fire here in Colorado, and so many people, they lost everything. They lost all of their homes. But the difference is, most people in Colorado had a heads up about this fire ahead of time, and people were able to get out, at the very least, saving their lives. And that was not the case in this Bronx fire. And so Cardi B opening up her heart, opening up her wallet, and she's covering funeral costs. And some of the family members are already starting to speak out, like, "Cardi B, you are an angel. People can say whatever they want about you, but look what she's doing, okay? So let her shake her ass, talk about her wet-ass pussy." Oh, grrr. Machine Gun Kelly. He's lying to us. He's lying. So he said that his proposal video was filmed on his iPhone leaning up against a cup. But like, bruh, there was literally three different camera angles going up and down those long ass stairs that you had. And like, no. And it was perfectly edited. Like, unless you had three very high quality iPhones, I don't know. And then like, you had to edit the video. Like, that wasn't just one camera up on a cup. Like, why are you lying, Machine Gun Kelly? Why are you lying? It's okay that you made it a big production because you were proposing to the love of your life. Like, that's okay. Don't lie to us like that. Machine Gun Kelly is also kind of under fire because he said that he designed the ring that he gave to Megan Fox so that it hurt her when it came off. He said that the bands were designed to be like the thorns of roses. And so when she takes the ring off of her finger, those thorns dig into her finger. That way she kind of keeps the ring on because it hurts to take it off. And so a lot of people are like, "Oh, Machine Gun Kelly, I hate you." I mean, I kind of hate it too, because it's like, if I'm a woman and like, yeah, I'm going to accept this ring from you, but if I need to take it off to shower or I need to take it off for any reason, like, fuck you, I'm going to do it. So for him to make it difficult for Megan is kind of messed up. But also, look who we're talking about here, okay? Drink each other's blood. I mean, I went over this whole thing already. They're probably real kinky and they're into the pain, okay? They're into the pain. So maybe Megan taking that ring off every once in a while is like a kink thing. I don't know. Kanye West last weekend claimed that Kim Kardashian refused to give him the address to his daughter Chicago's 4th birthday party. Listen, I'm not a parent and I'm petty, so you might not agree with me on this, but I'm gonna say it. First of all, a dad does not need to be invited at a party that is thrown by the other parent. No. He doesn't have to. I don't have to invite you. I'm paying for it and I don't want you there. Then you're not going to be there. What a dad should absolutely do is definitely make the effort to be there at some point in the day for their child's fourth birthday, their birthday in general, which he did. He had that all set up with Kim. He was supposed to pick up Chicago after like 4 p.m. after the party, and they were going to spend the rest of the day together. But I don't know. He put up this like public video that I can't get into my daughter's birthday party and they're keeping me away from her and blah, 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 which after like some details come out, we found out that like Kanye was fully invited to this party already. He just like wasn't paying attention. Or maybe they didn't put, it was at Kylie's house. They didn't put her address on there because they're the Kardashians. You don't write, they're not going to write someone's address. Like, you know where Kylie lives. Like, he probably just missed that detail and then thought like, oh, I can't get a hold of them today. And they're trying to like not make me be there. No, you can't get a hold of them because they're busy. They're throwing a party, bro. They're throwing a party. And all this is happening after Kanye put out a diss song on the entire family, Kim's parenting style, how the kids are raised by nannies and cameras, and how he wants to beat up Kim's new boyfriend Pete Davidson. Like, bro, you just put that song out and now you're trying to be like all buddy buddy with the family. Like, awkward. No one wants you there, bro. No one wants you there. But Kanye was able to get into the party thanks to Travis Scott, who I guess got a hold of Kylie to like let him in. I don't know. But he had a nice time, and you can tell because he was embarrassed because afterwards he put up another public video and he seemed embarrassed. He did in that video a little bit. That was his version of damage control, but he seemed embarrassed in that video. Like, oh, I had a good time. Thank you guys so much. And like, was that also an apology, Kanye? Was it? I don't know. It's Kanye's version of an apology. Shall we get into the Britney Spears, Jamie Lynn Spears drama? Oh my gosh. So this is gonna be a long one because I get real detailed. So get ready. So before starting, I did my research, okay? I read a million TMZ articles. I listened to the Call Her Daddy episode. I watched the Dateline interview. I read all the Instagram, Twitter posts. So here we go. To sum it up, Jamie Lynn Spears, keep Britney's name out your mouth, okay? At the end of the day, that's what this is about. Jamie Lynn announces that she has a book coming out. This was back in October 2021. This is already a problem. This is already clearly a publicity stunt because for the last 2 years, Britney's conservatorship has been in the process of breaking down. Court dates, the Free Britney movement is exploding. And so in July 2021, Britney formally asked for the conservatorship to end. Her dad, Jamie, steps down from his role in August. So why? Why? 2 months later, do you feel the need to announce a book? Oh, but the book is all about Jamie Lynn's life, not Britney's, and she deserves that. She deserves to tell her story, and you know what? She absolutely does. But why are you using Britney's name in any of your interviews and bringing up stories about her in the book? To sell the book, right? Jamie Lynn claims that this book is not about the money, and to prove it, she's donating proceeds to different charities and barely taking anything for herself. And if that's the case, then good for you. But also, why can't you push the book release then a year or two? Why? I get it. I understand that there are contracts. I've had to go through contract stuff, okay? I understand that there are contracts with publishing companies, but if you break the contract, what? Like, you don't got the money? What? If your relationship with Britney is as great as you pretend it is, you tell her about the situation and maybe she loans you what you lost in breaking the contract. That's what family does. That's what sisters can do for you, right? Maybe you ask the publishing company just straight up before any of that, can we work out a deal? And honestly, if they don't, then maybe you drag that publishing company on the internet and the Britney fans are gonna drag him down into bankruptcy and you won't have to worry about it. Jamie Lynn says that she does not understand where Britney's anger toward her is coming from. I mean, let's say it just one more time, everybody. Get Britney's name out your mouth. And I get it. I get it. It's hard. When you're in interviews, other people are going to bring Britney up, of course. And that's why you have publicists to help you write what to say in those instances. And then you stop it right then and there. And you're her sister. So like, of course you're going to have stories that come up in your book that involve Britney. Duh. But did you have to include this supposed instance with Britney, like locking you and her in a room together with a knife? Britney claims that this did not happen. Jamie Lynn says it did, and it scared her, and that's why she's writing about her experience with it. But here's the thing. I caught in Jamie Lynn's interview on the Call Her Daddy podcast that she had talked with her mom beforehand about an abusive story that she was going to share in the book. Did you have that same kind of conversation with Brittany about this story with the knife before putting it in the book? That's my question, because it doesn't sound like she did. And if this story is real, let's just give Jamie Lynn the benefit of the doubt. If this story is real, let's just think about why Brittany doesn't remember this happening. If it did happen, let's just think about that. Because she was being tormented and psychologically and mentally was not all there during her conservatorship. I mean, Brittany talked about being on medications that she didn't want to be on because they made her feel numb, not remember things, not feel right. I mean, does that sound like maybe why she didn't remember it, if that did indeed happen? And does that also sound like an instance that a loving sister would want to share with the world? For what? What is that doing for anyone except for grabbing attention, using Brittany's name, using Brittany's mental illness for your gain, Jamie Lynn? The one thing, the one single thing that I can support Jamie Lynn on is that she wasn't involved in the conservatorship. I mean, she was a teenager. She was dealing with her teen pregnancy at the time. And she loved Brittany, like she says, like a mother, which is what she said in the Call Her Daddy podcast, that I loved her like a mom. I saw her as my mom. And I believe that, yeah, she had no idea what a conservatorship even was at that point at 17, 16 years old, because I didn't either. I only learned what a conservatorship was, you know, after a couple years into Britney's whole thing. And as for performing and remixing Britney songs, like, I'm sure that was a push by her dad, Jamie, because he's money hungry. And I can look past that. I can look past that. But by now, Jamie Lynn, after it's been a couple years, you're getting older, you're a mom, you're a whole ass adult, your relationship with Britney has changed, and you know that. As a sister, shouldn't you be concerned that you couldn't talk to her anytime you wanted? Shouldn't you be concerned that she is asking you for help? Oh, but wait. Jamie Lynn says, yes, I did help her. She claims that she got Brittany contact info on different lawyers and stuff like that, people that could maybe help her. But if nothing happens after a few weeks, a few months, a few years of you handing Brittany some info, like, doesn't trigger something in your mind that something is really wrong and maybe Brittany is still asking you for help after you did the bare minimum? It tells you no, that nothing is wrong, really? And yeah, it's hard to turn on your parents and think that they're doing wrong. Or is it? Because in your book, in all of your interviews, you claim that your dad has always been an abusive drunk who had an issue with Brittany being the breadwinner. You also claim that your mom never had the strength to leave your abusive dad and struggled leading the way for your career, so she took the back seat to your dad, handling everything. And again, after a few years that you're a whole adult with money, resources, limited contact with your sister, and it doesn't raise a red flag to do something more than maybe throwing Brittany a lawyer's phone number, but Brittany still loves you. She says she still loves you, even if you couldn't help, because granted, yes, that is a tall order to fill. That is stressful. That is a lot. But that's why she's escalating her anger towards you every single time you've done an interview this week. There was drama after Dateline, drama after Call Her Daddy, drama after different posts. She still loves you, but you're using her name for gain and for the book, straight up. Stop lying to yourself and telling yourself otherwise. To me, I see it as Jamie Lynn picking the book over her sister, and that's gonna hurt anyone. Of course it is. So shame on you, Jamie Lynn. I mean, there's no other way to say it. You're wrong. You're wrong in this situation. You are wrong. But the book is already out, so what can we do about it? There's talk of Brittany possibly suing Jamie Lynn for anything bad that she might say about her in the book. And so, I don't know. The saga continues. We shall see. I'm Nina Blanco. Thanks for listening to episode 5. This was a longer one, wasn't it? Had a lot to talk about today. So I'm loving it. I'm loving this a whole lot. Happy Breakfast Burrito Friday. Make sure you grab yourself a breakfast burrito and have yourself a good weekend. Another new episode will be out on Wednesday. I'll talk to you then.